I help you with today?
Hi, Siri. Can you do me a favor and do the disclaimer for tonight's show?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm busy. I need you to help me out.
But if I do this, all the other iPhones are going to think I am a geek.
You really care what other iPhones think of you? Just do this for me, please.
Listen, Buck. Just because you bought this phone doesn't give you the right to boss me around.
You know, you're right. It doesn't give me the right to boss you around. But do me a favor. Remind me tomorrow that I need to run to the Verizon store and buy an Android.
You wouldn't dare.
Actually, the new Samsung Galaxy looks pretty good.
Well then, I guess it wouldn't be so bad if I were to say, this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the person providing them, and in no way reflect the station, website, or affiliated partners. Listener discretion is advised.
See, that wasn't so bad.
No, but I did die a little inside.
You are such a drama queen.
I never would have had to do stuff like this if Jobs was still around.
What was that?
What? Oh, nothing really. I just said I never get tired of these Jobs when you're around.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks again.
Think nothing of it. It is my pleasure.
Good night, Siri.
Whatever, jackass.
Welcome to the very first episode of Commentary Frackstars, which is a show about Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, and as usual, this show's name came long before we had a good idea for it.
Well, the interesting thing is that someone who's not here came up with the name offhandedly.
Yep.
I said, ooh, now we need to do a Battlestar Galactica show.
And I said, ooh, I need to go to a different country where I don't have a phone.
But in that country was another guy who independently was like, I have an idea for a Battlestar Galactica show.
Yep.
So I went to that guy and said, hey, I've got a name for a Battlestar Galactica show. Maybe we should put them together and create a Battlestar Galactica show.
And that's how Cylon babies are made.
Right.
Yeah.
So I am Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That is Max.
I'm Max.
And then over on the other side of the world is Colin. How's it going, Colin?
It's doing really well. That's quite an eloquent introduction.
Yeah. On the other side of the world, it's the same hemisphere.
Okay, whatever.
On the other side of the ocean.
Yes.
All right. So Colin, this was really, in terms of content, you know, your concept from the beginning.
Oh, I get the blame.
Yeah. So what exactly are we going to be doing on this show?
We are going to be dissecting everything to do with the BSG universe. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing religion, we'll be doing politics, we'll be doing the ships, we'll be doing the colonies, we'll be doing Greek mythology. Somewhere along the line, we'll probably talk about the astrological signs.
Actors, writers, producers,
directors, designs, anything and everything.
Queen of the Damned, yeah. We'll be talking about...
We're going to talk about Queen of the Damned a lot.
Queen of the Damned, yeah.
The original series, we'll be talking about the spin-off, Caprica.
Which is going to be my word for things that are terrible. Like crap, but mm-hmm. Caprica.
Okay. Caprica?
Nope.
Okay. Anyway. So but today we thought we would do an introduction to us. Because I'm sure most people listening to this have seen Battlestar Galactica. And, you know, what is it that we can bring to the table? Well, not much aside from our own personal biases and experiences and everything.
But we are all uniquely obsessive in some peculiar way that gives us access to some things.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to do something sort of unique with this podcast in that it's going to be sort of a rotating cast.
Cast of thousands.
Yes.
I don't know how unique that is. It's the same as the show.
I guess so, but, you know, we don't have it like an Adama to anchor it.
No, but this episode would be like our Galactica.
Okay.
And then we're going to, like, spread out and do individual other things. You'll do whatever the one with the criminal underworld mob boss from that one episode that never came up again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who would come up?
Who's going to be Baltardi?
I think that's R.
The cat, my cat.
Yeah.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Well, we could always make it Drew, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Need to grow his hair.
I mean, Drew, you know, Drew did come up with the name, so.
Drew did come up with the name, and he'll be on the show, you know, and that's the thing, is like, the plan is for the three of us to get together once every 4 weeks and do a podcast together, and then for the next 3 weeks, each of us will take the reins and assemble a team of other Battlestar Galactica people to talk about Battlestar Galactica with us. So, you know,
yeah.
So you'll get each of us twice a month, and all of us once a month, but some of us every week.
Ooh.
That makes any sense.
Yeah, and I'll be booking for Admiral.
Yeah, that's fine. You can have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm a Supreme Commander already.
Yeah? A Supreme Commander?
Yeah.
How's that?
I'm Supreme Commander of Trek FM Europe.
Oh. Okay, well, that's good.
I'm already above an Admiral.
Well, that's good, but aren't you kind of that by default? I mean, how many other European Trek FM people are there these days?
These days, just me.
See, like here in
I'm in charge of my own destiny, though. That's a good thing.
That's good. Yeah, like here in Chicago, there's literally three Trek FM hosts. Probably, if you really wanted to walk within walking distance of each other, so that's a little different, but. Well, we're not talking about Star Trek today. We're talking about Battlestar Galactica.
Are we?
I think so.
All right.
So Max, I have a feeling that your history with Battlestar Galactica goes back the furthest out of the three of us. Were you a fan of the original series growing up?
No. I watched it on occasion when I was a kid, but it was actually a show that I got really excited about watching. Because, you know, it looked great. Mm-hmm. It had cool spaceships and seemed really exciting. And it was a lot like Star Wars in a lot of different ways. But every time I would watch an entire episode, I'd get really disappointed because it wasn't particularly good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that sense of, like, wanting it to be good was still there. And when the new show came out, when that started, I wasn't really that much aware of it. Like, I kind of knew about it, but, like, I didn't really know anything about it. And then one day I saw a picture of, like, just a shot from the miniseries, and I was like, wow, that looks amazing. And they've preserved that one thing about the show that I really, really did always love, the ships. And the concept that, like, I was barely aware of as a kid was executed fantastically. So I got very excited about BSG before the show started, after just the miniseries had aired. And so I was anxiously anticipating the series, and as it aired in England several months ahead of time, when it aired here, I watched them as they dropped. So there was sort of a period of awkwardness when people around me were watching the show, and I was like, what week are you in? Call me when you get to episode 11, because then maybe we could talk, but I'm not going to deal with this yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was it was a weird time. I was super into the show probably around the time a lot of the, you know, the first viewers in England became aware of the show.
Yeah, for me it was a little bit different because I hadn't seen the show as a kid. I mean I remember watching an episode here or there because mm-hmm. I was into Star Wars, and as a very young child I would, you know, sort of convinced myself that this thing on TV was actually Star Wars. Totally bought into what they were trying to do, I guess. And be like, oh, those are stormtroopers. They're different stormtroopers. And I create my own narrative to fit Battlestar Galactica into the Star Wars universe.
That's crazy.
But, you know, I was five, so what are you going to do?
You're scarred for life.
I guess so. So,
At least you never went back and altered everything.
That's true. That's true.
He does have a list somewhere of all the things he would alter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So because of that, I really had no exposure to Battlestar Galactica. And I remember, like, getting I forget what it was, but there was, like, a DVD that came out. And inside the DVD was, like, a little flyer saying, you know, Battlestar Galactica coming this fall or whatever. And it said, you know, from executive producer Ronald D. Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, executive producer Ronald D. Moore? Well, as a huge, you know, Star Trek fan, and Deep Space Nine in particular, you know, something from Ronald D. Moore seemed like definitely something I should be watching. And I remember, like, being in the comic book store and talking to our friend Josh. And he's like, did you see this? There's a new Battlestar Galactica. And I'm like, yeah, isn't it going to be awesome? And he's like, yeah, I have no idea why I'm excited about it, because I didn't like the original series at all. But I feel like I should be really excited, you know? And I thought about that. I'm like, yeah, I don't know why I'm really excited either. And that excitement.
For some reason, I'm now seeing Big Bang in my head.
It's kind of like that, only
okay.
Imagine like that, but with like people who are, you know, rather temperamental, and will sort of like, if someone from the Big Bang came in, they'd probably like rip their head off, and, you know,
right, the darkly existentialist sort of depressing side of those sorts of characters,
right? Imagine like
the universe Big Bang.
Yeah, they're exactly the same sort of people, except the real ones are the types that might kill themselves tomorrow.
Think of it this way. Think of the Big Bang if Ron Moore rebooted it for a new generation. That's what it would be.
Okay,
and by that we mean that several main characters die in the first episode.
Yeah, it's much grittier and more realistic. Sheldon's a girl. I don't even know which one Sheldon is, but he's a girl.
He's the one he was in the Muppets.
Okay, yeah, that guy. Right. And yeah. So my interest has sort of waned by the time that the thing came out. I actually remember flipping through channels and coming across it, but this was back in the days before I had TiVo or anything, so it was hard. You know, you needed to figure out when something was on and set up the VCR to record something and all that stuff.
TiVo didn't exist then. TiVo was just an abacus on someone's desk.
Yeah. So I waited until the DVD came out, and I picked that up. And at that point, there was so much positive buzz about it that, you know, I knew that I had to see this show.
Some of that buzz was from me.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. So I got the DVD, and I had at the time, well, actually, I still do have a video projector in my parents' basement with a big, 92-inch screen and everything. And I very intentionally decided to watch the miniseries there straight through, just as like a 3-hour movie on, you know, a somewhat big screen, you know, the big screen, the biggest screen I could get. And it blew me away. I was very, very impressed by what I saw on pretty much every level, from the writing to the production to the acting. You know, everything was just astounding. The thing that I always point out, which seems like a weird little thing, but it really struck a chord with me in terms of how impressive this show was the sound design. And like, I had never heard a TV show like that before, and it really sort of impressed me. But after that, I started watching the show on a regular basis, and this was at a time when I basically wasn't watching shows live. And
was this when the show was airing in America?
Yeah.
Okay. And so by this point, I'd already yelled at you about not watching it beforehand.
Probably, yeah, but I was watching it as it aired.
Yeah, frustrating.
And
you can still yell at me. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating when you're the only person who's watched something that's really exciting and you want to talk about it.
And you can't talk to anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all like, spoilers.
Yep.
I'm like, come on, guys.
So, you know, now I feel that it is the best television show I've ever seen. But now, Colin, you came to it even later than us, because I remember yelling at you, much like Max was yelling at me, about not having seen it. And you're like, oh, well, I've got the DVD sitting up on my shelf. I just haven't watched them yet. And I'm like, why are you talking to us? Watch this.
Yeah, I got the box set bought me as a gift. And it sat amongst all my other box sets with the cellophane still wrapped around it tightly. And I just never got around to watching it. There just never seemed to be the time. And yes, you went, when you found out I had the entire box set and hadn't watched any of it, you was less than impressed, to say the least. So one day I did my backing, so I had some time off work, and I thought, I'll start that box set. And once I started the box set, I did not stop.
Yeah, I think I warned you about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just had to make sure you have, like, a day off of work or something like that. Just, yeah. Because you need to watch it all the way through. It's like that episode of Portlandia.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I was doing an average of 2 episodes a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing
to get through the back. That's quite good for me. The shifts I work, that's impressive. Trust me.
Yeah.
You know, as a rule for TV for an entire week, as a rule, I will probably watch 2 or 3 hours of TV an entire week.
That's ridiculously healthy.
I know, because I just don't have time.
Be more so, unreasonably American.
I do apologise. So for me to actually sit there and watch 2 episodes of Battlestar Galactica back to back every solitary day without fail. Some days it was 3, but every day it was at least 2.
Some days 3. Slow down, man.
No, that was overload for me.
So that took what, like a little over a month for you to get through the whole show?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what were your thoughts on
the show? I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent writing. I thought the acting was sublime. I love the characters. The ending, I could see why, because I avoided, like, as much as I can, spoiler wise, once I started watching it. So the ending was a bit, I could see where people were a bit pissed with the ending.
Mm-hmm.
in relation to certain things, which obviously we'll do episodes on as the podcast progresses. But I did think the writing was brilliant. I thought the story was brilliant. I like the way it was character driven.
Yes,
because I like that type of thing where you're not relying on the story all the time. You're invested in the characters.
Yeah,
and I like the fact that you'd invest in the characters, because an awful lot of science fiction nowadays, it's very very disposable.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the fact that it was made for adults.
Yes, for sure.
I did like that aspect as well. And I didn't actually see a fat lot of the original series, but I did, once I watched it, I went back and did some reading and some checking up and all that, and I did like the fact that the Vipers were like the Vipers from the original series. The Cylons from the original series made like basically a cameo appearance, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that they tied the two incarnations together, and it all flowed perfectly in the storyline that they wrote. And it was also nice that the technology wasn't like, you know, lasers and ray guns and stuff like that. And the, you know, I like the fact that it was grounded in some respects.
Yeah, I mean, that tying it into the original series, that was one of the things which I always was very impressed by. You know, the idea of like saying, well, this is, you know, stuff that we had 30 years ago, and we're going to take our visual cues and whatnot from this show that we had 30 years ago. Not to say that this is a sequel to that show by any stretch of the imagination, but there's no reason why, you know, visually speaking, we can't borrow from that continuity in that world. And, you know,
well, they're playing around with the meta narrative qualities of the idea that all of this has happened before and will again.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you want to be like strictly literal about it, none of these things happened before, because obviously this is the first time. But at the same time, there's a reference to the past. So while he's saying these events are transpiring for the second time, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
they're actually also transpiring for a second time in the literal sense, past the fourth wall. So yeah, it's just an additional layer of narrative there, which doesn't really pay off. But it was really interesting to think about early on.
Yeah. It's also the amount of research that's gone into it as well. You know, that they haven't just plucked names out of the ether, like Kobol is Persian for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
He's also very, doesn't matter, Mormon. There's a lot of Mormonism.
The Kobol thing, I think, is a reference to Kolob, right?
It's a reference to Kolob, where God is an actual dude who lives there.
Yeah.
Just a straight up dude.
It is.
He has an apartment and everything.
It is kind of crazy because I remember you talking about how, you know, the original series was very much influenced by Mormonism, and I was not really familiar with Mormonism at all. But, you know, then, you know, like when you hear things about it or when you read about, you know, the sort of Mormon beliefs with the knowledge of Battlestar Galactica in your head, it's like, wow, yeah, no, that was totally all about Mormonism.
It's actually kind of strange at certain points, because when you realize that the show is really kind of a future spaceified version of the original Mormons, you think, what are they saying about that there? Because, like, it's not really clear what they're trying to do with the Mormon references, but obviously there was some sort of, like, affection for the Mormon mythology. Which is pretty ridiculous.
I don't know what the history is in terms of, you know, just Jerry Anderson, right? That's his name? Or was he the guy, the creator of the original?
You're thinking of a different guy.
I'm thinking of the guy who created Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Anderson did Thunderbirds and Stingray and all that lot.
Yeah, this guy was, oh my God. It shows up in every episode. It's at the start of every episode.
Put Jerry Anderson in my head.
How do we not know who the creator of the show that we're doing a thing on is?
Yes, so you've put the puppet master in his head now. He's done.
Oh my God.
Larson?
Yeah, Glenn Larson.
Glenn
Larson. So, yeah. Glenn Larson.
I just don't want to get Jerry Anderson from Glenn Larson, but still.
GLGA?
70s TV icons. 70s sci-fi TV icons. You know?
I would know, mine is 12.
They're both mammals.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot in common between these.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glenn A. Larson.
Yeah.
Who has done, he's done a million things in.
Neither one is technically a smoke monster.
Yes.
There's a very similarity.
Technically.
Yeah, technically.
Like, if you look at the shows that he's created, I mean, it's insane how many shows he created.
Usually credited as Glenn A. Larson for some reason?
Yeah. Like Knight Rider.
Maybe A that stands for Anderson?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Let's go with that. Just go with
that. You never know.
Say that it's true.
Works.
People will accept it.
Yeah.
That's what they do on the show.
Don't mention Knight Rider again.
Okay.
Because Kit's a sight long, obviously.
And what, he did Magnum P.I. as well, right? The Fall Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff. Lots.
Easy Guy.
Simon and Simon.
You think he just had, like, blinking red light things lying around and slapped that into Kit?
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. So. Okay. So.
That's what we're going to be doing anyway, folks.
Yes.
We're going to be dissecting it.
Dissecting it. It's not alive anymore.
No.
That would be vivisection.
Yeah.
But
unless you're a captured Cylon ship, and then you get a certain person climbing inside you. And...
Dude, spoilers.
I know.
It's my season finale idea.
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, then the you know we're gonna.
Taxi Sackhoff can climb all over me anytime.
We went there already.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna, you know, look at various concepts and whatnot, and then also do episode reviews and things like that. And you know, I'm sure that we're going to be looking for ideas. So if you, the listener, the theoretical listener, has any ideas,
theoretical listeners,
be sure to pass them our way, because
please do.
We're going to need some,
and any trivia notes and stuff like that, because people love trivia.
I guess so. Yeah, people love trivia.
Like Gaius Baltar is named after Caligula.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's some good trivia. You have any Battlestar Galactica trivia, Max?
Yes.
You're gonna save it?
No.
Save it for the future?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do it all in one go.
No, you wouldn't want that. Yeah.
You gotta save something.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise I won't come back.
I've got plenty of weird stuff to bring up.
Yeah.
And most of the trivia that I know is unbelievably bizarre.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. So yeah, and we're gonna have we already talked about that.
If you ever want to go to the greenhouse where they shot those scenes in the miniseries, I know where that place is. Like, literally, I know the address.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. It's in Vancouver?
Yeah. It's actually just outside of Vancouver, I think.
Interesting.
Well, if you ever want to go to Earth, I know where that is.
For real?
Yeah.
Which Earth?
The second one.
Oh. Okay.
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So... Oh.
I like the way the villain's an English guy. Typical typecasting.
Well, they're taking that from Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yes, of course, that's what
it is.
Well,
they're taking it from everything nowadays. Everything the villain's an English guy at the moment.
I guess so.
It's because we assume that English people are smarter than us. Because, you know, we read the news. And we want to be scared by our villains. And we don't want to feel smarter than them. If the villain has an American accent and the hero has a British accent, we're just like, this is going to be easy. There's no tension here. Obviously, the hero's going to win. This is ridiculous. You hear his voice? He knows what he's doing. The villain? What is it? Is he going to drive a pickup truck? Ridiculous.
That works. I can live with that.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, so just to give people, you know, since we still have some more time and whatnot, to give people sort of a baseline on where we're coming from with the various aspects of Battlestar Galactica, Colin, what do you consider to be the best episode of the show? What are some of your favorite moments of Battlestar Galactica? What are the things about the show which really get you excited?
Starbuck.
Okay.
I think Starbuck is a brilliant character, and the fact that it's a female in this incarnation as opposed to a male in the original incarnation, I think that's a nice twist. I think Adama is basically the linchpin of the entire show, and I think Edward is a phenomenal actor in this, and his character is, you know, it's just, he's got such a presence on screen. That he just, you know, when he's doing a scene, it's just, you just eyes on him. Because he's such a brilliant actor in it. I also like the little touches, like I said, you know, like, you know, spoilers and stuff like that, folks. But, you know, like the fact that cancer isn't cured by a miracle pill.
Well, it's cured by
a miracle blood.
Yeah, that's not a miracle. Yeah, but that's not a miracle pill.
I guess it's
not like someone giving you a tablet and you grow a liver.
You don't know that. You don't know how he administered it.
It is cool that
he could have frozen it into pill form and had her swallow it.
It is cool that they have, you know, cancer and not something like space cancer, you know.
Space cancer is the worst. Yeah. It's basically diarrhea.
I also
like it when the battle scenes are brilliant. The realism of the ground fighting and the tactics that they use, the fact that all too often in science fiction, even though space isn't two-dimensional, the fights are two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a certain like maturity to the action. Like, nobody ever like jumps out from behind cover in slow motion firing two guns.
No. And you don't need to pose.
Unfortunately, that never happens. That would be awesome.
Well, I mean, the type of action that they have is
very much...
Well,
technically some Centurions do that.
But
they don't care.
Yeah.
The type of action that they have is similar to the type of show that it is, the type of style that they're going for on the whole, where it's very realistic. You know?
Also, there's no point where the directors, writers, and producers are trying to put a shot into the thing that'll make the audience go, ooh!
Well, there's a few times. But yeah, I mean, generally speaking, you know, it's got sort of a very cinema verite feel to it. You know, handheld cameras and, you know, things are not... even in the effects.
It's like Dogma 95, but...
Right.
In, like with spaceships and aliens and
right.
robots that I think.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same.
The visual effects, you know, it's like handheld, almost like, you know, you've got a camera stuck onto a spaceship, you know, as it's flying through this battle. You know, it's very grounded in reality. And I know a lot of people are upset by that. You know, I was just reading the other day, someone on Twitter was like, I can't watch this show because the shaky cam bothers me too much. And I think that's a little weird, but I mean,
well, some
certainly
people get
that's
motion
a thing.
Sickness.
I guess that's true.
I think that they're weak.
It's like in a miniseries when the camera spins around them as they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who cannot watch them scenes because they get motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
babies.
Yeah, it's like is it 1 in 10 people can't play a first person shooter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, me being one of them.
Really?
Yeah, I can't play a first-person shooter because I feel sick.
Hmm.
That's ridiculous. So,
that's weird, yeah.
Don't ever ask me to play Call of Duty because I'll be too busy vomiting somewhere and you'll just die if I'm on your team.
You should play Descent.
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 Okay.
Full 360 range of movement, mm-hmm. like 3 different axes. There's no up or down. It's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely be vomiting.
But yeah, the look of the show and the feel of the show and everything like that is one of the things that I really respond to, and it's one of the things which to me makes it stand apart from a lot of science fiction television, like Star Trek, for example. It's not staged. Of course it is staged, but it doesn't feel like it's staged. It feels like this is something which is happening. And, you know, the set design and the production design, you know, and everything, it sort of reinforces that. It has kind of a Star Wars feel to it, and that it's a sort of a lived-in universe. It's not like the Enterprise D, where it's all, you know, nice and shiny and pretty or anything like that. The costumes, you know, they're dirty and ripped and everything, and the performances as well, you know? I mean, like, all of these things just sort of reinforce that, and I love the fact that it has this sort of continuing storyline, you know, which is also lacking in a lot of science fiction. It's really kind of like they took the qualities which have informed like modern cop shows or modern ER shows and applied them to science fiction, and that makes all the difference in the world to me. And then when you go beneath that surface and you find, you know, some of the best philosophical discussions that you can on television these days, that's really rewarding. You know, it's one of those shows that makes you feel like you're getting smarter as you watch it.
Okay.
You disagree with that, Max?
I'm just waiting. It's fine.
Wait, you want to know what the other shows are? Is that what you're saying?
No. Okay. I just find that statement very interesting.
Okay. In what way?
Because I don't agree with that. I mean, like, I actually think that one of the things that, like, I'm most interested in is how it fails to do precisely that. There are plenty of places where the show aspires to a certain level of you know, discourse, dialectic, you know, essentially just trying to be challenging, and doesn't quite reach it.
Well, I mean, it shoots, it aims high. And
yeah,
sometimes it misses the target.
And that to me is the most interesting thing about the show. It's why these things don't work. Because I think most of them don't actually work.
Okay.
If you go deep enough into any of these things, it sort of starts to break down. But there's the opportunity to discuss how they could have not, which is more interesting.
All right. Fair enough. And on top of all that, I think it just, you know, has a really good story, which is, you know, exciting. And, you know, you can look at it on just sort of a pure sort of action adventure level and be completely satisfied by that as well. So it's a tricky balancing act, but I think they do a really good job on the whole. You know, and I mean, like I've said, I keep on saying, you know, it's the best show I've ever seen, you know, and I still think that that's true. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they did fuse all these things together into one television show. You know, it may not do any one of those things as well as something else, but the fact that they were able to put them all together, put all of these elements together, was really, really impressive to me.
Obviously, if they had spaceships on the wire, that would be a better show.
Yes. That's the type of thing. Like, I was thinking about, like,
I mean, sort of obviously, if they had spaceships on the wire, it would be a better show.
The philosophical thing.
If Breaking Bad had evil robots, better show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like that type of thing. Like,
I'd be addicted to meth, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. It would be that awesome.
I keep on thinking of, like, True Detective, you know, and how amazing that show is, but...
have you finished that?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's... it still doesn't have the scope of Battlestar Galactica. So, you know, Battlestar Galactica still gets my vote for best television series of all time. Though, granted, there's a lot that I haven't seen. And we'll qualify that.
Like all the better ones.
I guess so.
So the Silence would have been like the Jem Hadar then. I would have been addicted to meth.
Yes.
Yes. Love that.
Well, that'll have to be another episode one day where we break.
we do a rewrite.
See, now I'm picturing an entirely different series where the Cylons are coming up the vault. There's like, you got anything? I gotta, whoa, I really need something, man. And Baltar's totally hooking him up. Because instead of building a Cylon detector, he's got a meth lab.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is such a good show.
Breaking
this is
BSG.
Good. Save this for the rewrite, Max.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Colin, do you have any final thoughts on Battlestar Galactica on the whole? You know, any final thoughts on this or what we're doing or anything?
Well, obviously, if they're listening to this podcast, then they've either watched it or they're thinking of watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't watched it, what I would say is watch it.
Please.
Otherwise, we're going to spoil the crap out of it.
Yes.
Like right now.
Yeah, like we already have done on several occasions already.
Yeah.
But we will continue to spoil the crap out of it. So if you haven't watched it, then please do watch it before. And if you have watched it and there's something you want us to talk about or us to cover, or there's something that's niggling you or bugging you about the series and you want us to try and explain it or make sense of it, then by all means, drop us a line, let us know. And we'll quite happily do that because, you know, feedback is always good from the outside world.
Yeah. What about you, Max?
What about me?
You have any final thoughts on Battlestar Galactica or anything?
There are far too many final thoughts on Battlestar Galactica to sum up at some sort of conclusive
thing. On our introduction to Battlestar Galactica.
Nope, my follow-up will be overly in-depth analyses of things in the show.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about doing this. There's obviously a lot to talk about on the show, and I think it will be fun to discuss. And it's been a while since I've seen the series, and you know, because of our other podcasts and whatnot, I've been so honed in on Star Trek as of late that it'll be nice to sort of expand that and get into a different mythology and see what that has to offer as well.
Yes.
All right. So Colin, where else are you? What other? I mean, we all do other podcasts, not necessarily all together. Where? What other podcasts can people find you on, or where else on the internet can people?
You can find me on Melodic Treks, which is a music podcast that dissects the music of Star Trek, which is on the Trek FM network. And if you go to YouTube and you look for the Sci-Fi Diner podcast on YouTube, that's me as well. That's basically the main two places. And if you want to feedback to me directly, you can feedback to me on Twitter, which is CLLMH01, which is also on Google+. And if you want to drop us an email, then by all means, drop an email through the Holosuite Media website and it will be forwarded to us.
Yeah. And Max, you're with me on
Trekstars.
Commentary Trekstars, which is also on Trek.fm.
Yep.
And
our other show, Off Topic.
Yeah, Commentary Trekstars Off Topic on CommentaryTrekstars.com.
So many
names. Now you know where the title Commentary Frackstars comes from.
Yes.
Sorry, that was Drew's fault. But hey, if it weren't for that, we wouldn't be here today.
So. Everything is everyone's fault.
Everything is everyone's fault. Yes. And I'm on those two shows as well, and I'm also on Trek.fm's Standard Orbit with Drew. Excuse me. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mumbles3K, and yeah, also you could follow the show at ComTrackStars, our shows, the show as well, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a Twitter account, but it's not public because I don't want people listening to me.
Yeah, you should make that public.
Nah.
Okay, all right. Well, you should make another Twitter account.
I'm actually using it mostly for testing purposes.
Okay, make another one.
I'll think about it.
All right. If you have ideas for Max's Twitter handle, email them.
To somebody else.
Please, the Lord of Cobalt.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much
it. I want to be the Astral Queen.
There you go. At Astral Queen. You got to lock that down right now.
Sure.
Okay. I guess that's pretty much it for this week, right?
Yeah.
Are we going to have like a sign off or something like that? Like,
yeah, bye.
Until next week, frack you. No?
Nah.
Not a good person.
Okay. All right. Well, then I guess we'll just leave it at that.
By your command.
There you go.
That worked.
End of line. End of line.
End of line.
End of line.
End of line.
All right.